Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today I've got Dasha Gonzalez on the show. She's the ring announcer for AEW, and she's also on the broadcast team, does Spanish commentario with Alex Abrahantes. But you might know her as WWE backstage interviewer Dasha Fuentes. She was fired from WWE last year after a 5-year run, and she's going to tell us all about that and how she ended up coming to AEW as a result. She also recently competed in the Titan Games, which is currently airing on NBC. It's the reality fitness competition show hosted by The Rock. Dash has got stories from training for that show and then competing on it, but you're going to have to tune in Monday nights at 8 p.m. to find out how she did. And tune in to Facebook Live in my official YouTube channel this weekend for the Saturday Night Special, 9 p.m. Eastern, every week. We're going to answer your questions. We're going to do a sing-along. We're going to tell stories. We're going to have a couple drinks. Come hang out with me on Saturday night. I know the Rona is resurging in some places. Some states and cities are getting back into lockdown. If you got nothing to do, come have fun social distancing with me on a Saturday night. I will stay safe at home with the Saturday Special, and I guarantee I will entertain you. So we'll see you 9 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live and my official YouTube channel this Saturday for the Saturday Night Special. All right, let's hear Dasha's story right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. All right, so we had a big Zoom call for the whole company, and I said during the quarantine, if anyone wants to do Talk is Jericho, just reach out and let me know. And there's like 100 people on the call, and like 5 people were like, I want to do it. And Dasha Gonzalez is one of the people that said, I want to do it. I thought it was pretty cool that you reached out to do the show.
I've never really done like a podcast before, so this is like my first time. I'm like, why not? It's Chris Jericho. Let's do this.
But you have a lot of a long history, and there's a lot to talk about because you have been doing announcing and wrestling-related activities for how long?
A little over 5 years, almost 5 years. 6 years. Coming up on 6 years.
Did you originally want to be a wrestler?
I actually started as a wrestler.
Yeah, tell me, because I said I don't really know anything about your story.
No, totally cool. Yeah, so I auditioned back December 12, 13, 14 of 2013. And I did like the 3-day tryout that they do where you do like promos, bumping in the ring, strength and conditioning and all that stuff. And then from my class, the people pretty much that are still there are like Drake Wirtz and Nia Jax. We were all in the same tryout. And they just celebrated their 6 years with the company. Mm-hmm. And
just back up a bit, how did you get the tryout? Like, what got you involved?
I applied online on WWRecruit.com. I was watching TV. I laugh about it because some people are like, oh, you're watching Total Divas, just like everyone else. And I was a casual fan growing up as a kid, used to wrestle with my dad. And one day my now husband was like, you should try that, see what it's like. And I was in school studying science, and I always wanted a profession and career where I could be physically fit, active, be a role model, and wrestling was it. You got to be an entertainer, you got to maintain a level of fitness, and you got to be a role model to kids and adults all over the world. So that's what I did. I was like, I'm gonna try it, let's see. Had a pretty impressive resume, and I got signed.
They basically had an open tryout of like anybody that wants to sign up, or did you have to have a connection?
No, I had no connections whatsoever. I filled out a profile online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I filled out a profile online, submitted my application, uploaded the pictures, answered the questions that, you know, were in that like resume kind of that you had to post on the portal. And I got an email from the director of talent relations. At first, I thought it was fake.
Was it Canyon Seaman? Who was
Canyon Seaman?
The illustrious name, Canyon Seaman.
And I was like, there's this guy that was like a pro wrestler, like at the gym. And I was like, hey, is this name legitimate or not? I don't want to respond to this email and it's somebody trying to like catfish me or something. And I tried out and got called, did the medical evaluation, started as a wrestler, had a couple matches.
Hold on, but let's slow down a bit. You're going fast here.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. But there's a lot of great stuff I want to talk about. So you had the 3-day tryout and you're coming. Did you have an athletic background?
I did. I used to be a national competitive gymnast.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
I swam, dove, wrestled, okay. Did Marine Corps ROTC. I'm an athlete at heart.
Gotcha. So you show up for the tryout because I never had that tryout, but I heard that the camp, it's very physically grueling.
Absolutely.
Tell me some stuff you had to
do. They tried to break us down, essentially. And my tryout was actually at the Performance Center when it first opened. Like, we were, like, one of the first tryouts at the Performance Center. So we had the NFL, grade, mm-hmm. Weights in AstroTurf. So we had to do, like, sled pushes, deadlifts, cleans. Like, we were beaten down. Then we'd have in-ring, running the ropes, bumping, going from ring to ring, just blow-up drills till you could no longer. And they just wanted to see who was going to quit, who was going to keep going. And out of the 17 girls from all over the world that were in my tryout, they ended up choosing 4.
Who were the 4?
The 4 was a girl named Dani Jax, there was one of the girls' name was Dani Jax, was her real name.
Okay.
And then Nia Jax, who now that's her name, but everyone knows her other
What's
real
her real name? I know it, but I forgot.
We can't talk about
these
things. We can't talk about these things.
Everybody can just Google it. I'll Google it right now. So go ahead. Who are the other two?
And I was Dasha Gonzalez at the time.
Right.
Which was funny because I had my tryout and I was Dasha Gonzalez. And then when I started, I started the week after I had gotten married, so we had to go change all those contracts and all that.
Savalina Fanini is her real name.
And then Leivana was the other girl.
Okay. So you guys get signed, and then they put you into the NXT system.
Yes.
Okay, so then continue where that
was. So from that system, at that time, everything's changed. This was 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everyone had to like sit down and watch for a month. Just to make sure, to watch the beginner's class, which was with Robbie's class. And then from that beginner's class, then you graduated to being able to enter the beginner's class. And that's where we learned how to lock up. And we learned how to, like, hamburg roll and, like, yes, that's what Robbie called it, hamburg roll.
I was with Robbie in Hamburg in 93 for 6 weeks. That's what I'm just wondering. I wonder why it's called the hamburg roll.
Yeah, he called it the hamburg roll. And it was so funny because he would always call me textbook Dasha. Because if he would tell me, like, land right here, land right there. So it was, he's like, you're very analytical and, like, very, like, structural, like, when you do everything. And then from the beginner's class, then you could graduate to, at that time, there were still divas, but the women's ring. And now everyone's just mixed and it's crazy.
So who was first of all, how was Robbie Brookside as a trainer?
I love Robbie. I tell everyone my two favorite coaches are Norman Smiley and Robbie Brookside. They just got me. We clicked and they always explained to me why things were done and the psychology behind it all. And it just clicked when they taught me. And then Sarah Motto was the women's coach at that time. Mm-hmm.
So then you go into the women's training. And then when are you designated ready to have an actual match?
So at that time, all the women, whether you wrestled or not, we were all ring announcers. And everyone at the live events, they would set up the ring. Some people would run security. Some people would be, all the women would be ring announcers, whether that's what you wanted to do or not. And
each girl would get one match to announce or something? Or
so every week, like instead of, there was people sitting in the back watching the show, because obviously you learn by watching. Mm-hmm. And they would just designate somebody that wasn't wrestling one of the females to ring announce. So like even like Nia Jax went, Nia Jax ring announced my first match in Largo. It was great. It was a women's tag match and it was awesome.
I'm sure it was, right? So like you said, you sit in the back, you're watching, you're ring announcing. When do you finally get the call that you're going to have a match?
You would just show up to the event not knowing
what
was going on. Then when you'd finally look at the card from the coaches, mm-hmm. the producers would have the card. And you would normally get prepped a little bit at like the Performance Center live events that we would have, the PC lives that we would have just like amongst everyone that was in the company. But I had my first match just in Largo, and then I had another PC Live event, and then I had just gotten injured in the NAST. If I could, let me backtrack a little bit. I had gotten injured like 2 months into starting at the Performance Center, and so I went in for a scope and ended up being a meniscus like repair. So going in thinking it was 4 to 6 weeks recovery ended up being 4 to 6 months of recovery. Wow. And as soon as I got back, I was back to training. And then that's when I got my first match in Largo. And then I had another PC Live event. And then there was a need. I believe Brandi had gotten like moved up to ring announce like SmackDown and Raw. And JoJo had gotten moved up. And there was a need for somebody to ring announce. I said, I don't mind doing it. You guys said I was pretty good at it. I just want to make sure that I can still train in the ring. So I went a couple extra months training in the ring, and then finally got to a point where they're like, hey, we need you on the announce team. We have enough female wrestlers. Is this something you'd be willing to do? And I said, well, at that time, the goal was to make it to quote unquote main roster. Now everyone's on an even playing field. And I was like, well, I could see myself being able to work my way to the top, and maybe they could one day do like a storyline where somebody takes out the backstage interviewer and I could just transition back into wrestling. Never happened, but that was my logic.
So how long were you with WWE?
5 years.
Five. Okay, so this is crazy. So you came in as a wrestler and you only wrestled a few times, then you start ring announcing. So did you, you were on the main roster for years.
Yeah, I was with SmackDown Live for 2.5 and then Raw.
So what's kind of the technique to being a good ring announcer, like on TV and
Don't suck.
What were you given direction as a ring announcer for TV?
I never got to ring announce live on TV for SmackDown or Raw.
Gotcha.
It was mainly just the live events that we had throughout the week. And then for TV, I was just a backstage interviewer. But when it came to like ring announcing, Brandi helped me out a lot. When it came to like backstage interviewing, Renee helped me out a lot. And then Greg Hamilton and Mike Rome helped me out with the ring announcing aspect of it. Because at the time when Greg had gotten, he had gotten signed to NXT, and he wanted to kind of create this, like him, Michael Cole, and all the announcers wanted the ring announcers to be able to host and announce and be able to do everything so they could be utilized in any position. So Greg was like the first official like host ring announcer.
And host like hosting the live events?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we would do like a pre-show before the actual live events, then ring announce the live event, and then that was it.
Right. So what was, like so I said, what's the technique to ring announcing? Like what's the secret?
So I was always told when you're in the ring announcing, you have to be very stoic and like you have to command the attention. But like when you're hosting, it has to be like a three people conversation. So it's you, the audience, and you have to be conversational, not presentational when you're hosting, but then you have to be presentational when you're ring announcing. You kind of like set the tone for what's about to come.
Mm-hmm. And then what about when you're announcing somebody's name? What's the inflection? You know what I mean?
So usually you go up on the inflection towards the end.
Like give an example, like Chris Jericho.
So from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, weighing 225 pounds, le champion, Chris Jericho. So you kinda like go
but you got little
end.
Balls in there, Chris.
Because you're a heel, you know, you gotta have a little grit in it.
Yeah.
And then if it's somebody that's like a baby face, you're a little bit more like happy and cheery. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I always try to add a little bit grit if they're like a bad guy.
Right. But you're not getting a lot of direction for live events.
You have to make it kind of like your own thing. And that's what I loved most about the live events. TV, when I was with the other company, you know, it was more of like you're given a certain direction and you have to stay in that lane.
Right. So, but let me ask you this, because there's a lot of comments about backstage interviewers in WWE and the questions you're given. And it seems almost at this point, it's almost like a rib that they're given the worst questions. You know, like someone will be like, Apollo Crews hurts his leg and the backstage. So do you feel that this injury will hinder your progress? Or something? It's like, well, yes, of course it will.
Well, I mean, when I was with them, things are changing. I could only speak from my experiences.
That's what I mean. So what's your experience?
From my experiences, it was kind of like I had never been a backstage interviewer before in my life.
Right.
You know, I was terrified of the red light. I mean, the first time that I ever did a backstage interview, I was so scared. I said like James Ellis instead of James Ellsworth. I clearly knew his name, but right. I was like terrified.
This is live, right?
This is live. It's happening live. And I was always told I had too much personality and I had to dial it down. So
okay, hold on a second. This is the thing I'm going to tell you. You have too much personality. What does that mean?
Well, I was told it's not about the interviewer, it's about the person being interviewed. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what I had a lot of conflict with was I have so much personality and I feel like my personality could help put over what the talent is saying, but it wasn't about you, it was about the talent. The light was shined on the talent. So you had to ask your question, kind of don't show facial expression and let their answers, you know, kind of make the viewer have a certain sentiment or feeling. I wasn't allowed to like nod or certain.
Were you told?
Like
were you told this beforehand or
yes,
afterwards?
Yes. Yeah. And I felt also too like I had to get the question exactly verbatim how it was written or like the world was gonna end, you know, kind of a thing. But it interviewing wasn't my thing. I guess I don't know. But
how could it be your thing when all you're being told to do, in essence, is just stand there and hold the microphone?
Yep.
Like, they could get a mic stand, put, like, you know, a pretty face on it, and there's your interviewer. Because that's basically the same. There, you guys are all interchangeable.
Yeah.
But if you look at old school backstage announcers like Mean Gene Okerlund, he was the best because he had a personality, which enabled the guys to have something to feed off of.
Yeah. And I completely agree with that. And that was something that I struggled a lot with. But at the end of the day, I wasn't the one making the decisions.
Of course.
So I was only doing as I was told. But it's kind of fun now being able to be myself. People are like, whoa, she is not a robot. I'm like, no, I'm not a robot. If you take a second to get to know me, I do have a personality. If you are a true fan and had been to a live event, you knew that wasn't me. So it's different how things translate. But I'm the type of person, like, if you don't know me before you like ever speak to me, you will remember me after you leave me.
Of course.
All right, you guys know that I travel every week for AEW and I'm on the road for Fozzy as well, but I don't worry about appliances or any of the stuff at my house breaking down while I'm gone because we've got American Home Shield. And truthfully, I'm not a fix-it-myself guy anyway, so even if I was home and we had a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater, I'm not the one who's going to fix it. And unexpected breakdowns like that won't break your bank with American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. You just choose a plan that works for you and your budget. And then when a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage in your agreement. Right now, you can get 20% off. Just go to ahs.com/Jericho and save that 20%. That's ahs.com/Jericho for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield, don't worry, be warranty. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home or building manufacturer. So tell me about some of your favorite backstage interviews that you did.
There was this one interview I did with Mojo Rawley when he had won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And my question was, I had to say, like, no, not really. He was like, can you feel it, Dasha? Can you feel it? Because, you know, Mojo's very expressive. Yeah, yeah. And I literally had to look at him straight in the face and be like, no, not really. It was one of the hardest, most silly things. So many memes were made after.
Was it supposed to be a joke? Like, were you doing it to be a smartass?
To this day, I don't even know.
So who's giving you these lines?
Just the writers.
Whoever the writer is for the segment.
Yep.
Here's what we want you to say.
There's so many different writers, I have no idea.
Yeah. They come and go so quickly, right?
Absolutely. Oh, but that was one of my favorite. No, not really. Because I asked, I'd be like, am I supposed to be cheeky? And like,
yeah.
Am I supposed
to be sarcasm?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like, no, you just look at him straight dead in the face and say, no, not really.
So you said they made a bunch of memes of it?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Of like you being like this girl's a robot type thing?
Oh, and there was another, I had like talked to like Chris Van Vliet about it or something like that. Somebody also, one time I had an interview with Shinsuke Nakamura, and they, because I sounded so robotic to them, they painted, they kind of like redid it, put like a voice modulator on it, made me sound like a robot, like painted my face silver and like redid this other little video. I was like, this stuff is great. I don't mind. That does not hurt my feelings whatsoever.
Now, you said Renee Young helped you with your backstage interview. What kind of advice was she giving you?
She always told me just obviously follow the directions that they're giving you. Once you kind of build their trust, then you'll get a little bit more leeway, because Renee is one of those that, like, when she was doing backstage interviews, she was allowed to emote, she was allowed to nod, but they trusted her, and she earned that trust. I was so new, I didn't have that trust, so I had to earn that trust. And it was just, it was for me that I always struggled with, but I wouldn't say this way, or I wouldn't, you know, write this way. And she's like, well, sometimes you just have to, like, bite the bullet and just do it and prove to them that they can trust you in that aspect of it. And that's kind of, it is what it is.
Well, so for 5 years or so, you're traveling from, you know, city to city or whatever it is for basically 30 seconds of work a night. I mean, is that basically what your job? Did you have to do anything else other than backstage interviewing?
No, I actually ring announced during the live events.
But I'm talking about actual TV.
Oh, for TV? Yeah. Well, the hardest part for me was we would have live events when I was with Raw, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, TV Monday. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're exhausted from working all these live events, driving from...
They can, like, be very strange places, yeah.
It sometimes you just wondered and you're like, did somebody just like turn around in a circle and just randomly throw darts at all these different locations? Because they'd be like 300 miles or catch a flight and go over here. And we'd get to like, personally, I would get to the hotel like sometimes at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, have to wake up for a call time, be at, you know, TV all day long. And then you'd get like 10 seconds worth of work and you're like, but it's 10:30. Holy cow, I don't even know where I'm at. I can't even remember any of this
right
stuff. And you're like just drained and exhausted. So it was tough.
Oh yeah,
it was really tough. I mean, you've obviously done it for a long time. People don't realize the shows are fun, but they don't realize what it is that the wrestlers do in order to actually get to the show. Not everyone has a bus that takes them there or a chauffeur that drives them. No, mm-hmm. You're driving like 300 miles to the next
town. And you're making
town.
Your own reservations to do that.
Yep.
You know, how did you like how did you deal with all that travel? Because it's something that I didn't realize till you step out of that bubble and go, holy shit, I can't even envision ever doing that again 4 days a week.
I can't envision how you all did it back in like the 90s and 80s, yeah, where MapQuest was a thing. Like me, I would just be like, luckily being on the announce side, that was the one part that it was cool that I was getting taken care of, was like my hotel was already reserved.
You're like an employee or something, or part of the crew?
Yeah, you were part of the crew. Gotcha. You're part of the crew. And so your hotel was already covered, but sometimes I had wished, like when it was so far away, like, man, I wish I could just book my own hotel and like stop halfway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, I have to drive to my hotel. Yeah. But it was hard being able to like manage all that. And most of the time, since I was the first one out, you know, during the pre-show, the actual show, and then closing out the show, most of the talent, after they finish their matches, you know, it makes sense, drive to the next town, or they would bunch up in cars. And I was like,
were you always by yourself driving?
Usually, most of the time, yeah. Wow. So that was the other scary part. I was born into an extremely conservative household, and the first Uber I ever took was in Belfast, and like I'd never been in a taxi growing up in Florida, no public transportation, never been like on a bus or anything like that before. So I'm like driving in the middle of the night, like, okay, what are all these survival techniques if anyone ever tries doing anything?
Right.
And helped me out a couple times.
Really? Tell what happened.
One time I was pumping gas in the middle of the night, and this was like after like Henner Gracie and like Eve Torres came to like the PC to like give us a self-defense kind of course. And somebody like tried getting in my car.
Really?
Yeah. Like as I'm pumping gas in the middle of the night. And I was like, boom, let me go back to this like pink belt information that they like taught us. Like, no, get back. Get out of my car.
So you had to actually drag the guy out of your car essentially?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And one time I'd gotten a flat tire and I'm over here on the side of the road like jacking up my car. Yeah. Yeah. And I called like medical and like, it was like Larry from medical and a couple other people. They were all driving Doc. They were all driving together. I was like, hey, just wanted to let you know I got a flat tire. I'm on the side of the road. So I just want to let you know in case I get kidnapped. And they were kind enough that they like turned back around. I had already had the car up and the wheel off. And then they just helped me real quick. And then I drove to the airport, switched out a new rental car because it was like 200 miles away the next place. But yeah, it was, I grew up a lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you grew up a lot. Not just for career experience, but life experience. Yeah. You know?
I used to think everyone was so awesome in the world was like just filled with flowers and potpourri. And I was like, man, there's some pretty evil people in this world.
Yeah. Did you mentioned Belfast. Did you do a lot of traveling overseas with the company?
My first time going over the pond was with WWE. It was a great experience with so many firsts. Mm-hmm. Like before, I'd only been to like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, the Caribbean, essentially, because that's where my family's from. And I have so many stamps in my passport. It's so cool going to Spain. At that time, I was the only Spanish-speaking announcer, so I got to do all the South American tours, and the tours were my favorite. Mm. And I loved it so much. It was hard and it was grueling. You know, it was weeks of on the road, not seeing your family and stuff like that. But the bond that you grow with the talent, because you're all going through it together during those tours, it was.
I always like those times the best too, because like, you know, being in Fozzy, we travel on the tour bus, and it's, you know, it's not like it's a nonstop party, but if you want to hang out and have some drinks and talk to your friends, and of course we go to sleep on ours, but on those buses it was a time when everyone was actually traveling together and turn on the music and have some drinks and tell some stories, and that was always a really kind of cool moment.
I loved it because whether we like flew, you know, from city to city or were like on the bus, every time we like got to our hotel, like everyone would always go to catering and just like you're saying, reminisce on like, oh, and we always had a theme song for like every tour, and we'd just sing it. And every time it'd come on, everyone that was on the tour would look at each other. And it's those memories are something that you can't put a price tag on. Mm-hmm. So it's like, although we were all going through it, like it was just, even till this day, I still talk to some of the people and we're just like, yeah, I remember when we were over.
Who were some of your closest friends?
Oh, my closest friends, Trin, because I got to be on both brands, and then also depending if like if they were in South America or something, I'd get bounced around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the Usos, Trin.
Trin is Naomi, right?
Yeah, so. Trin, Naomi, Tamina, Nia Jax. Like it was funny because they were like, "You're a babyface, but I want to go on the heel bus." The heel bus was always the fun
bus. The heel bus is always the party bus. That's where we all had the best times. So what kind of led to you departing from the company?
Oh, they let me go.
But why?
Till this day, it's just, I got a phone call. It's like, hey, yo, we're letting you go. And pretty much that's about it. Didn't really get any answers or anything like that.
Was there a bunch of people let go at the same time or just you?
It's always after WrestleMania.
Okay, gotcha.
They usually let some people go. But I was out of work for 6 months.
Were you surprised to get that call?
Well, I know things usually happen. Things come and go. There's always ups and downs in the company. I never take anything like that personally. Mm-hmm. Some doors close for greater ones to open. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you stop to think like, man, what did I do? But at the end of the day, you're like, I gave it 110%. You know, every day that I had, I worked 5 years, you know, worked my tail off for them. Mm-hmm. And nothing personal, you know, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I remember that was the funny thing talking about, because you went and did some interviews afterwards and people were like, oh my gosh, this woman's got the best personality ever. And she was never able to show it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it's the nature of the beast. You know, if you're not a chosen one, then that's how it is. And of course I was down for a little bit, you know, but I'm such an optimist that I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm the little engine that could, you know, you keep on chugging. And keep knocking on doors. I took some time to like relax, refocus, and because I was drained, you know,
right. it's mentally draining.
Oh, so mentally draining. I missed so many like family gatherings, birthdays, and I was able to like hang out with my family. And like after it all happened, like my grandmother passed away. I had some family members get really sick, and I got to be there for all that. And just kept grinding, kept pushing through, and just kept trying to find the next thing that I was going to do. And it was a blessing in disguise, because I remember right after I had gotten let go, I had like text Brandy. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm no longer with WWE, blah blah blah. And AEW had, you know, had been announced, and like
hadn't started yet, but it had been announced though, right?
No, it had started. Double or Nothing had already happened. But TV hadn't started. And they're like, oh, you know, well, we're not looking for anything right now, but possibly when TV starts, you know, we're looking for somebody full time. And like everything just happened in its own timing. And I'm just extremely grateful for that.
So when the TV started, is that when you got the call? Because I remember I saw you around a few times. probably here, I think, when we had the Fighter Fest or whatever it was called.
Yes, so we had Fighter Fest and then Fight for the Fallen.
That was it, Fight for the Fallen.
Well, Fighter Fest was in Daytona.
Right.
And I've just been, Billy Gunn used to be one of my coaches back in NXT, and we've always stayed close. And when he found out I got the boot, I was like, hey, he's like, just come with me to Daytona. And I was like, sure, let's see what it's all about, you know, meet some people. I went in there with no expectations. They're like, hey, can you ring a bell? And I was like, I think so. I did it for live events. And I was like, it was on the floor, not on a table. So, you know, that's a new level.
Here's the difference.
That's a new level. And I was the timekeeper.
Why do they keep the bell on the floor with WWE? You're right. That's an interesting.
Right? For live events?
Yeah, I never noticed that before, but we do have a table here, but there it's on the floor.
Because as the ring announcer, you're ringing the bell, you're collecting the gimmicks, you're like ring announcing, you're going in between. It was one less thing that they had to worry about. We didn't even have a real hammer. We used a wrench because the hammer kept getting lost in transit.
Did you ever ring the bell at the wrong time?
I remember.
See, I don't think people understand this. You have to. You just said you're ring announcing.
Yep.
You're ringing the bell. You're not collecting the gimmicks and taking them to the back.
You're not taking them to the back, but you're collecting them from all around the ring. Gosh. So then when the runner comes, you're like, whoop, give them to them to get them out of the way.
Oh my gosh.
You're getting gimmicks thrown at you from the heels. Oh, I remember spike jackets almost taking my eyeballs out. It's just so much.
Also, when you sit in that same place, was there ever any like people around, like hecklers? Like, you can't move. You're stuck there for the whole show.
Well, for me personally, I just felt like I was a part of the show at the same time. So like if a heel's coming for me, I'm going to like go back, or like baby face, or like if somebody's coming to your chairs, like I'm hightailing out of there. Yeah. Like I am a professional runner in heels now. Yeah. And I try not to take people falling on you and stuff like that. So I just try to get out of the way or be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember fans like just calling me out on Twitter, like, well, it was so cool to watch your reactions. I'm like, well, we're all watching the same spectacle.
And it's a small portion of the audience, but also too, you're kind of setting the tone for if you're sitting there yawning and bored, the people around you are probably going to feel the same way.
Yeah. And also too, like I've witnessed that before, and I'm like, well, you're kind of like telling everyone like, A, you're not, this isn't important. And you're letting them know, oh, okay, so this match is going to finish. I better pay attention so I can ring the bell. Like, no, the match could finish at any time. And like, that's the thing with professional wrestling. You know, anything could change on the fly. Somebody could get injured or hurt, or like
change their minds on the finish or whatever.
You have to watch what's going on.
That's the thing. You have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. You can't be sitting there on your phone for 2.5 hours or whatever it is, right?
Yep. And it actually, for me too, because like I entered the business like as a worker, it was one of those things of like watching the greats, like, you know, AJ Styles, the Usos, like everyone that was with the company, just like Randy Orton, no matter what they did, they always kind of changed it just a little bit each and every single night, just to keep it fresh. So for me, it was like, oh, okay, I've kind of seen this, but whoa, that was different. That looks so cool. The audience react. I was just always immersed in it, trying to learn, you know, just in case I could get the opportunity.
Right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So when you started with AEW, what are the big differences you noticed between the two companies?
That's the cool thing about the talent. Like, I've being on the announce side, like, everyone's always been very cool with me. But the creative freedom in AEW is something that is so appealing. And all the talent just loves that. Being able to, like, have an idea, put out the idea, and get positive feedback. Yes, negative feedback. But at the same time, I feel like just having that creativity allows them to grow their characters, and then having veterans and people with lots of TV experience. Many of the talent didn't have TV experience when we first started. So just the overall vibe is so chill and so cool, and I greatly appreciate that. Mm. It's like me, and they're like, okay, well, today you're going to be a Spanish commentator. Sure, no problem. Let's go do it. Oh, today we need you to do this interview. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I remember when, like, Cody had approached me, I was like, hey, so do you speak Spanish? And I was like, yes. I was like, my mom would be very disappointed if I didn't. He goes, so how do you feel about doing Spanish commentary? I was like, I've never done it before, but if you're willing to trust me, I will give you 110%. He's like, cool, let's do it. And that's how I started doing Spanish commentary.
So tell me about that, because that's a whole different ball of wax too.
Ooh, so I actually had the opportunity.
With Alex, right?
With Alex Abrahantes. And Alex, like, he's done play-by-play for a while, so like color was something that was like totally different. I've never even done English commentary. I'm more dominant in English than I am in Spanish, but I mean, speaking Spanish, I just went back and like was just watching, listening to some of the great color commentators, and like, okay, well, what are they adding to the story that helps it? And at first it was very hard, and especially a lot of the talent, having been in that bubble for WWE for so many years, you only know the talent that's in there because you're like, man, there's so many different shows going on. You don't have time to, like,
of course. Yeah,
go
of course.
Watch more wrestling.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah. And so just getting to know some of the other talent, how long that they've been working for, what are, you know, some of their finishers, what are they known for in the independent scene? That was one of the hardest things. But, like, it's one of those things, just sitting there talking to the person, you can get to know so much. Mm-hmm. And once you, like, have that level of intimacy of speaking with the person, getting to know them, then you can put them over in color commentary. So it's always a work in progress. I will not say I'm the best at it, but I'm learning, and it's just really fun to do.
And it's like, you don't know when to, at first, you don't know when am I supposed to talk? When do I step in? I don't want to interrupt anybody, but I want to say my stuff. There's a timing thing you have to get with your commentary partner as well.
Yeah, you have to have a level of chemistry. And luckily, being like a host and announcer, like what Greg and what Mike Rome would teach me is like, you nonverbal cues and like being able to read a person. And it's like finding that lull of when they're talking to like input it in there to not step on each other's toes. And that's one of the cool thing is that Alex and I like meshed immediately, and we just have such a great level of chemistry. And it's pretty cool how like some of the fans will just be like online are like, well, we like listening to you, even though we don't 100% understand what you're saying, but they're like, it's like sitting on the couch with your friends and just talking about wrestling. And I'm like, that's kind of what we want. That's what we want people to feel when we are doing our commentary.
Right. It's cool that, like I said, that you're Florida based too, because we do all of our shows now, you know, Jacksonville, Atlanta. So you're on everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you're taking advantage of it.
I'm used to driving.
Yeah.
I'm a professional driver now. So it's short, quick, easy to get to.
Have you had a lot of interactions with Tony Khan?
Very, very far and few. I mean, he's a cool guy. Always says thank you after everything, but we're not best buds or anything like that.
I guess I'm asking, did you ever have, I'll ask the same question about Vince McMahon, any interactions with him?
Once or twice. I got a good job kid one time, and that was about it.
So you're excited to be a part of this company then?
I am so excited to be a part of this company. And the one thing that I love the most is the support and how everyone wants to see everyone grow. And like, even I recently had an opportunity to compete in Titan Games, and
I want to talk about that too.
So
what is Titan Games? Explain.
So Titan Games, is the best way to explain it is if American Ninja Warrior and American Gladiator had a baby, it would be Titan Games. It was a competition where you had to like be able to demonstrate strength, agility, like it was these like ridiculous killer obstacles. And the host of the show is Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do physically. And
well, let's go back. How did you get into that show?
Me, I'm the girl who finds things online.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And I apply online. Like I was telling Tony Schiavone a little bit earlier, I was like, you know what, Tony? If you don't try, it's never going to happen. So what's the worst that can happen? You see a call to action, you just apply, you put it out there. If they're interested or you stand out in some way, you'll get a call.
Is there a certain website that you go to find
it? Yeah, tyinggamescasting.com.
You heard about the show and said, I'm going to look it up?
Yeah, so Dwayne on his Instagram had like a call to action, like, hey, we're looking for Titans. Gotcha. Blah, blah, blah. And it was like to submit like a video and answer all these questions. And I put up my profile and then I ended up getting an email inviting me to audition to come to this combine and competed in this combine and then got
it's
on the show.
Same thing as WWE NXT all over again.
Yeah, it was like I was groomed for this. Like it was hard. But the hardest part for me was coming back from an Achilles injury. It was kind of one of those, I don't know if I can physically make this happen. Now, pre-Achilles, yeah, I would have rocked it, but it was like...
How'd you hurt your Achilles?
So I had originally tried out for Titan Games Season 1, and I was with WWE at the time. I was like, man, it was like this weird frustration thing of like, I love announcing, but at the same time, like, I'm an athlete. I need something to like get this energy out. Like, I want to either be in the ring or I want to compete in a fitness competition or something. So I had told them, hey, I have this opportunity. Can I please do it? And they're like, yeah. And then I ended up having a scheduling conflict. And I was like, ugh. You know how it goes always with the scheduling conflicts.
Right, of course, yeah.
And I was like, man, well, I'm going to do a fitness competition then to kind of like be able to show them I am
busy,
an athlete.
You're a busy bee.
Yeah. I always need to be doing something. I have like undiagnosed ADD, self-diagnosed ADD. And I was like, fine, well, I'm going to get in the best shape possible, training for the fitness competition. Ended up not listening to my body, listening to recovery, ruptured my Achilles tendon.
Just how, running or?
I was practicing like round off by canceling back tucks and things like that. So I like landed and like just blew it out.
That's a painful injury, isn't it?
But mine was weird because I did such a number on it. I ended up severing all the nerve endings, so I felt no pain.
Oh my gosh, could you walk even though?
I could, but like when I went to go like on the step off, like it was like a numbness that would go up. And I was like, oh, that stinks.
Right.
And I've torn so many different, the whole left side of my body's been reconstructed. Two knee surgeries, foot surgery, shoulder surgery. I was like, eh, nothing new. I'm hypermobile. I tear things all the time.
Right.
And so but the Achilles was the hardest because it was the mental recovery aspect of it because I felt no pain. Like as an athlete, when you feel pain, you're like, oh, okay, things can get better. And not feeling anything was one of those like sitting and waiting. Like I couldn't bear any weight on the Achilles for 8 weeks. I'm like, that's 2 months of not being able to do anything. And it's boring. And then like trying to get like that firing to in your calf, like after, like even still to this day, my right calf is smaller than the left, but it's functional for a normal individual. I'm like, but it's not the same. I'm an athlete. Mm-hmm. And just being able to compete in the show, like it was cool.
So when you go to the combine and then they kind of test your athleticism, athletic ability, then what kind of tasks were you doing on the show?
So after the combine, because it was like kind of like one of those like NFL combine things where they tested, you know, your 40-yard dash, they tested like deadlifts, a whole bunch of agility moving type stuff. I got with one of my buddies, Lewis, who owns like a CrossFit gym, because I was like, oh, it seems like I may need like agility and strength and power like a CrossFitter. And then like also trained with one of my other girlfriends, Lisa, and did more of the like aesthetics, because at the end of the day, it's TV. You have to look cute on TV. Mm. And I did both of their trainings, working on my cardio and my strength. And that definitely helped me a lot for the show.
Hmm. But what were you, like, if you've taped the show already, it hasn't aired yet though.
Yes.
So I don't know what you can say and can't say, but like what kind of activities are you doing? You said
like
American Gladiators was like trying to hit each other off the balance beam into the water with giant, you know, Q-tips.
Yep. giant Q-tips. Yeah, it was exactly just like that. Like season one of Titan Games, there was like a lunar impact wall. And the show itself changed drastically from season one. They added a whole bunch of different features, but it was still a lot of like strength, like tugging against like tug of wars, but like fancy kind of tug of wars where it wasn't just a rope that you're tugging. There was a lot of like aerial kind of type stuff where like floors went down and it was just like you're battling it up against another person. The cool thing is the second season they added Celebrity Titans and they broke us up into three different regions. They didn't do like a bracket system like they did season one. So it was like the West, Central, and East, and I was in the Eastern region. And my Celebrity Titan was Hannah Teeter, who's Olympic gold medalist, like snowboarder. Mm. And it was crazy and wild because we had agility type competitions where it was who was the quickest, who could finish something quicker. And then there was also strength ones of like who can outpower somebody else. So it was a back and forth, and you're going up against Mount Olympus with this Titan and competing against each other. And it was a lot of back and forth and strength-based kind of type stuff. And it was just an honor to be on the show, especially coming back so soon after Achilles. And also, too, in the back of my mind, I was representing AEW because mm-hmm. I had already been signed to AEW. And I had, AEW's blessing. And I was like, well, I can't do bad. I have so much.
Did you do good?
I did fairly well, so okay. I can't say too much.
Is it one of those things?
I shocked myself.
Is it one of those things like you mentioned, Ninja War? Are you just on it for like one show and you try, or is it something where it's like week by week and someone gets eliminated?
Week by week, and you essentially, it was cool because it wasn't like with the bracket system, when you go up against somebody and then you lose, you're automatically kicked off. So it was kind of cool because there was like redemption rounds and stuff like that this time around. So it was nice. And it won't go like you see one person 1 week and then you don't see them for another 5 weeks. So it was gotcha. Very cool, the dynamic that they did this time around. It'd be really interesting. I don't know how everything's going to air and show or how things were
of course,
edited
always the
and
way,
cut.
Right?
But it was such a hard but fun experience. And the cool thing is there's people from all walks of life. Like there's a lady who's a gynecologist. Jamie's a gynecologist. Caleb, he's an orthopedic surgeon. Like there's people that are nurses, stay-at-home moms that are homeschooling their kids. There's a monster truck driver. There's a DJ. There's police officers.
Did they play up your wrestling angle?
They did. Yeah. I think they. From what we kind of filmed. Obviously, I'm an announcer, but I think they're playing up a little bit of the wrestling as well. So I'm curious to see how I'm depicted.
Right.
But also, too, I'm like the girl that had 5,000 million injuries, too, because I'm hypermobile. So I'm a weird individual.
I love the fact that I hope they do play up on it. And then we'll have AEW mentioned on The Rock show.
Yeah.
Vince will have a heart attack.
Oh, I was so shocked that it was cool because like he had mentioned me on Twitter the
Rocked
other day.
It?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said I was a relentless competitor. And I was like, yeah.
Did you know him from before?
I had met him like once. Mm-hmm. He was talking to somebody like on a road case. And I was like, hi, I'm Lena's friend. And then like awkwardly just walked off.
So did you have any interaction with him on the show, on the Titan Games? Or did you ever see him?
After the competitions and stuff like that, like a hug, you know, like a high five, like you go, girl. But yeah, I've never like sat down and had a conversation with him before. So I'm like, I know who he is and I think he knows who I am. I'm not sure, but like we're not besties or anything.
That's cool though. I mean, it's great that you get that exposure, you know, like you said, just because you went online and looked something up.
You never know. That has been my life story. I mean, my grandmother, she only went to school till fourth grade. My mom didn't graduate college. And it was just one of those like, hey, I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes. What's the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of been my philosophy in life. You know, just give it a try.
And what did you say? You're hypermobile. You mentioned that a couple times.
Yep, hypermobile. I have.
What does that mean?
I'm very flexible.
Oh, okay.
So pretty much what happens to me is that I stretch and then my ligaments snap, and I don't even realize it till like after.
Wouldn't that make you? Oh, I see. Because you're so flexible, you take things to the breaking point, and then.
And then I'm like, ah, dang.
Because it would seem like flexible. The opposite of flexible would be tearing everything.
Well, it's finding that balance between the two, because if you're too tight, you can tear things. But if you're too flexible, you can just snap them, too.
Gotcha. Do you ever, when you're watching the shows, like from ringside, do you ever miss being in the ring wrestling? Or was it such a short time that you don't?
Every single time
really?
I saw somebody, yeah. I just remember when people would like, you know, complain of like, oh my gosh, the monotony of this all. And I'm like, I would kill to be in your shoes. But I mean, that's always, you always want what you can't have, you know, kind of a thing. But I would just sit there and watch. I'm like, it could have been me. But, you know, everything happens in its own timing. You know, I'm not too old that I still can't make it happen.
Well, especially here, because like you said, you're already kind of wearing so many hats. You never know, right?
I'm like, take me out. I'll take a bump.
What do you think of the AEW's women's division?
I mean, they're all great in their own aspects. It's it's sad to see like online people bashing them, things and that, you know. And my thing is just like, well, it's totally different. It's like, this is such a new company and everyone's getting to know each other, building that chemistry and stuff like that. And I see great things coming, you know, from the women's division, but with time, everything happens with time. Like even with WWE, the women's revolution, how many decades did they go where women weren't even given a chance?
Right.
These women are being given a chance. Now just give them a second to figure it out and they're going to knock it out of the park, you know?
Well, and the idea is to get a whole new crop of girls and women, which we did. So it takes a while for people to get to know them.
Yep.
But like you said, a lot of them are coming from places where they've never been on TV before either.
Yep. It's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. Everything's a learning curve. But the cool thing is here, there's a support system and it's different too. And I always remind people, a lot of the women in WWE, they have the performance center where they go to the performance center and they train, they build that chemistry prior to even having a match. Mm-hmm. These women literally like, okay, we're here, you're having this match, and they don't have that time to build the chemistry. But the cool thing is, like, protocols being put in place to help them now kind of get that chemistry, build that chemistry, talk to each other, have, you know, school sessions, review tape and things like that. So, I mean, everything with time. Like, AEW has only been on TV since October of 2019. People forget that. 2019.
Yeah, 9 months.
That's nothing. Mm-hmm. And, like, you compare it with, you know, the biggest company in sports entertainment, you
50
know?
Years or whatever,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, they weren't ready in 8 months, you know? Like, everything happens with
it's come
time.
Together very quickly for us,
yes,
too.
Yes, very quickly and solid, you know? Like, just viewership is incredible. The fans are incredible. And that's the cool thing, is having the support from the fans. People don't realize that plays a big part in everything that we do. You know, just having somebody, even for me personally, somebody be like, hey, good job, this was great, or, you know, giving me a compliment sandwich, because nothing's ever perfect. This was good, we need to work on this, but continue doing this. Boom, easy fix, next thing, you know, just not getting harped on, like, what happened, blah blah blah, you know. And you're like, that's not the way that you talk to humans. If you want them to grow, you have to be able to support them, give them, hey, I've tried this, why don't you try this? It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Well, and that's kind of a different attitude from here in WWE as well, that I notice that there's a lot less eggshell walking here, you know?
You can speak your mind and not be afraid of any
right, and you're expected to in a good way, in a positive way.
Yep, and the cool thing here too is, like, if you don't have any ideas about your character and your stuff, it's like, we're not going to come up with them for you. It's like, you better come up with it yourself, you know. Maybe they can spin off of something, of an idea that you had. But it's crazy to see, like, the talent that's, like, getting pushed. It's like, they had this idea, this plan of what they wanted to do, and AEW took it and ran with it. That's so right. And going back to creative freedom, like, that's something that they envisioned, and AEW is allowing them to have it come into fruition.
Last few things, obviously we're in the middle of the pandemic, where we went from sold out crowds and big crowds to no crowds. How has that been for you?
I've actually enjoyed it, because
really?
I love the fans, but TV is kind of scary. Live TV is a little scary, and never having done live TV before, it's kind of
because you had never announced on TV.
I had announced for NXT many, many times, but that was pre-taped.
Right.
Nothing was ever
not live. Yeah.
So the first time I ever announced live was with AEW. It was the Inner Circle decided they wanted to take out Justin Roberts. And
that's right, in Chicago.
Yeah, the Inner Circle took out Justin Roberts, and I stepped up for him and ring announced.
When were you told that?
Ooh, like, a couple days before
okay,
it actually
so you knew
happened.
A few days before,
yeah, a couple days before it happened. And then after that, then they're like, hey, so with all this madness that's going on in the world, would you be interested in ring announcing? I was like,
right, because Justin can't come in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, if you trust me, I'm going to give it 110%. Let me know if I screw something up. I'll fix it. It won't happen again, kind of a thing. So just for me, just having that backing and that support, I can skyrocket to the moon.
But do you have like a earpiece in or something that they tell you
when so you're not getting the like the stats and stuff like yeah. that, but say, okay, you do it, you have an earpiece, yeah, right. where they cue you to go.
Right, right. So you're saying if there was people in there, you'd be more nervous?
I think I would.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are there to have a good time. You know, if they have a couple drinks in them, mm-hmm. heckle you a little bit, or you get distracted. Like sometimes I'm like, ooh, squirrel, shiny object. So just being able to have like just peers and coworkers kind of like as our audience kind of like eases the tension a little bit.
That's funny, yeah. Last question for you. You have the best seat in the house as a ring announcer, front row, whether it's a sold-out arena, whether you've seen big shows, small shows, shows with no people. Has there been some matches that stand out to you as some of the favorites that you've seen first row?
So many great matches. Like, oftentimes I'm just there like in awe, soaking it all in. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, best seat in the house. And I sometimes at live events, I would just chit chat with some of the audience. They're like, you're so lucky you're on the other side of the barricade. But like just the amount of talent, there's not one that like really just sticks out. Like mm-hmm. I just enjoy watching everyone's, you know, different flavor that they bring to the ring. The way that they just, the confidence that they have inside of the ring when they step in, like they believe they're that character. And I just enjoy just taking everything in. And it's like when it comes to like favorite books, favorite like mm-hmm. artists, favorite anything, I don't ever have favorites. I just appreciate, I have a favorite about each person and like a favorite thing I enjoy that everyone does. Mm-hmm. And I just like sitting there and soaking it all in. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been part of the show? Has everyone ever dragged you in or like thrown water in your face or anything?
No, I haven't had that opportunity quite yet.
All right. Well, we'll make that happen soon enough. Well, thank you so much, Dasha. That was great. Now I know your story.
Yeah, you know a little bit of my story.
And you have three or four last names because
I'm Hispanic. Remember, I told you, we got way too many last names. Dasha Janice, Gonzalez, Medina, Nieves, Guzman, Sanchez, Alvarez, you name it. They just keep going on.
You know how hard that's going to be to put on the headline this week on Talk is Jericho? Dasha goes on.